We welcome our guest, Dr. Valerie Martin Stewart. Dr. Stewart, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing just fine. I see that you wear several caps. How do you manage to be an ordained minister, motivational speaker, electrical engineer, your prolific author? How do you do all of this?
It's the grace of God, for sure.
Wow. I mean, you must have a very busy day.
I do. I think the hardest part of my day is being an engineer. All the other things that I've accomplished has been done in my latter years. And I think it was when I began to tune in and listen to the voice of God and His plan for my life instead of me trying to map out my own plan.
You're a former professional basketball player. How did you transition from being that professional basketball player into being a minister?
Wow, that's an awesome question. Well, how I became a professional basketball player, I actually was running from my call to preach. And so I ran all the way to the land down under in Australia, thinking I was running from God, only to get there, and one of the girl's fathers contacted me to let me know that, hey, you're a great basketball player and all the rest, but there's this glow around you and not around any of the other girls. And he said he inquired God about it, and God told him that I was running from my call to preach. So I found out I couldn't get away from the calling. So once I finished up my career in Australia and Italy, I flew back to America because my mom was terminally ill with cancer at the time. And from there, you know, God just never let go of me. And I was thinking about going back overseas, but at that point I knew I couldn't run from God any longer after someone way in Australia, you know, saw the calling on my life. So slowly but surely, one event after another, I began to yield to God, and I had ran for over 13 years.
Our guest, Dr. Valerie Martin Stewart, you've written three books. Let's talk about the first one. Out of pain came poetry. Tell us about that.
Yes, I started writing when I was 12 years old. I always been joked and made fun of all my life, from siblings to friends to relatives. Everyone would make fun of the way I talked, and everything would say that I talked so slow. So that was painful for me. And so I learned to get by myself and start writing and writing out my feelings and everything. And I've dealt with the spirit of depression, rejection, you know, low self-esteem. And I think a lot of it came from or stemmed from being joked and made fun of most of my childhood life. And so about 12, I started writing, and even the spirit of suicide, I've always felt that I would die young. And for the most part of my life, I didn't want to live. And so I started writing a lot. And about 2006, and mind you, I was only writing for myself, never desired to publish a book because for me, my writing is very painful. And about 2006, the Lord started telling me, it's time to publish your first book. And I was dumbfounded, thinking, what book? And he said, all those poems and writings that you've been writing, because no matter where I traveled to overseas playing pro ball, I always took my pen and my poetry folder with me. And I was always writing, and teachers and coaches and strangers that saw me writing, even in other countries, they would always want to read a poem or two of mine, and they would encourage me, you know, hey, you need to publish a book one day. And I would just smile, you know, but never in my lifetime that I think I'd publish one book, let alone three. So Out of Pain Came Poetry, subtitle Tapping Into the Greatness Within. It's a lot of painful poems that I've written when I was filled with depression and even at the point of suicide. But God said I needed to publish that because so many are dealing with the same things.
Your second book, entitled Rise Above Rejection, how does one rise above rejection?
Well, I think the first thing a person has to do is admit, you know, the feelings or the emotions that they are feeling rejected. That's what I had to do. All of my life, as I said before, I've dealt with a lot of negative emotions, and I didn't know how to rise above those things. So the first thing I would say is the person has to admit those feelings, and definitely the second would be to go and seek help. And the third thing I would say, you know, is to deal with those emotions. You know, maybe sometimes you have to go back and confront people or say, I'm sorry, or just confess to people how they've hurt them, be it in the past or whatever bad. So it's a lot of confrontation.
What stopped you from ending your life by pulling out in front of an 18-wheeler?
Wow, it was the Lord. That's exactly how that book came about. I had gone through a very painful divorce and had a one-year-old child. She was almost 1 year old. And my husband walked out and left her and I on the floor. And I dealt with a lot of rejection again, you know, from that childhood. It was just that suppressed feelings of rejection. And this was in October of 2003. I was headed to Nashville, feeling very rejected. Was always in a crowd but felt alone. And I wrote a poem stating that very thing. And just feel like I've never fit in. And this particular Sunday, here I was, even at that time, when ordained minister, you know, engineer, all those titles and accolades. And here I am riding up Interstate 65, and I hear a voice reminding me of all the great things I've done and all the rest. And I really thought it was the voice of God. And I was saying yes, but I was crying because I was feeling rejected. I had asked a dear friend of mine who was a pastor to go out to lunch with me, and she couldn't. And so that brought it. Something as simple as that, because I replaced her with my mom, brought on rejection, but I really didn't understand why. And so as I'm riding up Interstate 65, and this voice is reminding me of all the great things I've done, countries I've traveled to, without warning, I hear a voice say, an 18-wheeler is coming. Well, what the voice said before, right after all the great things I've done, it said, but you're still alone. You're still by yourself. You have no one to share all your accolades or money or all the great things you've accomplished. You're still single. You're still divorced. And I, at that moment, I realized it was the enemy. It was not God that was reminding me of all the great things I had done. And he said to me without warning that there's an 18-wheeler coming up on your left side. And true enough, when I looked in my rearview mirror, there was an 18-wheeler approaching. And I thought, wow, he said, if you would just turn left at the precise time that I tell you to, you would die instantly. He said, you won't have to worry about being a paraplegic, and your child will be taken care of, and you can, you know, you'll be free of all your pain, all your wondering whys of life, and why things doesn't work out, and all the rest. And I continued to cry, and I began to call each one of my siblings. It's seven of us, and I began to call each one. And Lord later revealed to me I was saying my goodbyes to them, because I've never called them all on the same day. But as I called each one of them, I heard the voice of the Lord. It had to be in a very still, small voice, just telling me that he loved me and to keep driving. And once I made it to my hotel there, I heard a voice say, get a pen and paper and write what you hear. And I wrote 12 pages at that time of God gave me a divine revelation of my pain. So moments before, I was being tempted to pull out in front of 18-wheeler, but now as I get to the hotel, God has given me a divine revelation that my pain did not start with the terrible divorce that I went through in 96, but that it started back at 4 years old.
Wow. Your third book, Miraculous Moments, and you've definitely had some miraculous moments.
Yes.
Yes. Tell us about this book, and why did you write this one?
Well, this one I was a little skeptical about, but all my life, I can go back as far as maybe 12 years old once again, that I've always had dreams and visions of family members, of friends, or even strangers. I would see things in the night. And true enough, the next day, or within the next couple of days, I would see the very thing that I had saw in the night come to pass. My mom and one of my sisters have the same gifting, I would say. And I just would always have dreams that I would tell people. I didn't like telling people, but once things would happen, I'd say, you're already seeing that. And I would tell them more of what I saw and you know, things that were not revealed, maybe openly, that I saw in the dream. And it was when I went back to Huntsville, Alabama, and continued to share those dreams and visions with others, that an elder friend of mine, Mrs. Lang, she encouraged me. She said, Val, you've had so many supernatural happenings that they're like ordinary to you because you're thinking they're happening to everybody, or you're thinking God is dealing with everybody the way he's dealing with you. And I thought, yes, I did. And she said, I really think you ought to pin all of those dreams and visions in a book for others to read. And so I prayed about it. I was really going to write another book at that time, feeling in my spirit, but God stirred my spirit to go ahead. When we had a bad snowstorm here in the D.C. area last year, God told me to sit down at the computer and begin to write that book. So most of those dreams and visions were not written down anywhere. They're in my head or heart. And so I just sat at the computer and typed most of those up, and next thing we know, it became a book.